I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome into the Jazz Notes podcast. I'm your host, Ben Anderson, live from Chicago. I'm joined by Sarah Todd of the Deseret News. We're trying this out on Facebook Live as well, so appreciate you jumping on with us. Sarah, they can find you on Twitter at NBA Sarah. As I mentioned, read you in the Deseret News. You can find me on Twitter at Ben's Hoops and read me at KSLSports.com. All right, we're here in Chicago. We're downtown at the Sheraton Hotel. We just had the NBA Cares Days today. Friday, what they like to do is Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, some of the other players around the league, and in the All-Star game, go out and just kind of give back to the community. Donovan Mitchell today was at the food depository, and then Rudy Gobert today was at the, what's it called, Navy Pier.
Yeah.
And he was just kind of hanging out with kids, going through some basketball drills and stuff. So it
blocking
was
shots.
Blocking shots, blocking a lot of kids' shots. So that was fun. That was cool. But that's not a whole lot to say about it. You know,
yeah.
they go down. It's cool. They make you they make the players accessible. But it's just a good thing the league does.
Yeah, and they do these sort of things every year during the All-Star break, and actually throughout the year, NBA Cares does a lot of stuff like that. And then they do sort of like their day of service, and the junior NBA has a day during the All-Star break also. And so that's nice for the community, especially for the host city.
Right.
Then they get, I guess it was more than 1,000 kids.
Wow.
At the junior NBA thing today.
It was cool. It's a cool event, and Bam Adebayo was there, and Spencer Dinwiddie, and Joe Harris from the Brooklyn Nets was there as well. And then at Donovan's thing, Donovan Mitchell was there, Robert Horry was there, Jameer Nelson was there, Jason Collins was there that we saw. I think Anthony Davis ended up coming later in the day. Adam
right.
Silver was going to be there. So it's a cool event, and it's one of the things that NBA Friday is like before the All-Star game. The city itself is... I mean, Chicago's so huge. It's not
cool.
Like Salt Lake City, where when the All-Star game is here in 2023 or there in 2023, it's going to be this huge event that takes over the whole city.
Right.
Chicago doesn't really get to do that because it's such a massive city.
Yeah, and I did hear my Lyft driver tell me that he was shocked because he didn't really know that the NBA All-Star was in town. He's like, wow, it's so busy down here by the hotels. I just keep getting rides after rides. I was like, yeah, there's a lot of people in town right now.
Yeah.
So... that's probably the most noticeable thing, but it also says something that somebody who lives in Chicago doesn't even know that the All-Star game is here.
Well, the guy in my last lift asked if I was here for the auto show, so apparently there's an auto show going on as well, so it's a big thing. All right, last four games. Before we get into the rest of All-Star weekend really quick, let's talk about what the Jazz have done, because they go on this five-game losing streak. As soon as they get into that tougher stretch of games and everyone thinks, okay, maybe that 19 of 21 stretch where they won all those games, maybe that was a little fluky because you played all these sub-500 teams.
Right.
And you lose five in a row, and they looked really ugly in a lot of those games. A lot of those were really bad. And then they just kept finding weird ways to lose games, especially against the Nuggets. And then they bounce back. They get the weird goaltending call against Damian Lillard and the Portland Trail Blazers. And then they get the weird lineup of the Houston Rockets that was a great victory. And then they just kind of kept it rolling into the break. And strangely enough, they have the longest win streak going into the NBA All-Star break now.
Yeah, those four games, it was like you had every piece of the NBA in those four games leading up to the All-Star break.
Right.
It was like controversial endings, buzzer beaters
right.
from Bojan.
Right.
Like, you had everything. and a really nice night the other night from Donovan against the Heat.
And he needed it.
He needed a good night like that, and coming into the All-Star break is really good for him to do that. And we talked about it before on the podcast. Those five games leading up to that were very bad. It wasn't great. They didn't look good. Yeah. There was a lot of things to be worried about, and so that they needed to have four games against good teams and going into the break to gain some momentum and hopefully feed off of that when the break ends.
And one of the weird things, Donovan Mitchell, that last game, as you mentioned, was really good for him. Because he scores points, it's easy to forget, like, he doesn't always have great nights. It's easy to look at his box score and say, well, he had 24, and it's a good night. For the five-game losing streak, he was averaging 18 points a game. He was shooting 40% from the floor and 30% from the three-point line. Like, those are just bad numbers.
Yep.
And he hadn't had a positive plus-minus, which isn't a perfect stat, but he hadn't had a positive plus-minus in seven straight games, which is hard to do. I mean, you'll accidentally be on the right unit on the floor that beats the other team.
Especially him. Like,
right.
He's more often than not going to be a part of the unit that has the positive side.
Right. And they'd won three of those games until the last game of the first half of the season, where, again, he had the huge game, shot really efficiently, and actually ended up with a nice game. So that was a good sign for the Jazz. Rudy Gobert's playing unbelievably well right now. And then, of course, the other star, and we actually had kind of a really, I thought, cool opportunity to talk to Jordan Clarkson right before the All-Star break, where every other player on the team had left because everyone kind of, you know, it was the All-Star break. They were all excited to leave, very understandably. And Jordan Clarkson was the last player there.
Yeah.
He had just had, you know, maybe not the best game of his career, but probably a top 10 game of his career. Not scoring output, but impact. And then he was just, I thought he was great after the game. He's just an extremely charming person.
Yeah, and I think it's both endearing and also, as a reporter, it can be a little frustrating when you have a guy that doesn't like to talk about himself.
Yep.
But he's really thoughtful even when he doesn't want to talk about himself.
Right.
And I enjoy those kinds of answers. Like when we're asking, I think it was you that asked it, like, are you playing the best basketball of your career?
Yeah.
And he really took pause and he was like, I don't know. And then I remember said something like, I don't even remember, like, the last 2 hours.
Right.
It's like he blacks out during a game, and then he immediately has the focus on, like, what's coming next.
And there's also this funny thing that happens in locker rooms where, because Joe Ingles is there, or Donovan's there, or Royce, or George Niang, like, those guys are always yelling at each other during interviews. So in some ways, and I think it's probably protective of the NBA to just, of the players, to just kind of, like, make sure, like, hey, we're not trying to share too much. We're interrupting each other just to kind of be playful and keep it light. When all those guys are gone, and that was the case, it was just Jordan Clarkson, it was you, me,
there was no noise.
Andy Larson, Andrea Irvin, and maybe been one other person there. Like,
right.
There was nobody there. And there wasn't anyone listening to what he was saying. And you could tell it changed how he answered his questions.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm talking about. He was really deliberate and took pause after we asked something before answering, when usually it's like whole crowd of people around one of the players, the showers are going, and somebody's playing music on their phone, and, you know, Donovan's yelling at Royce, and George is yelling at whoever, and Joe's cracking jokes from behind the curtain.
Right.
And so, like you said, it keeps it light, but it also keeps it from becoming a little more intimate.
Yeah.
And that was a really nice moment.
That was cool. And he's a very nice young person.
Yes, he is.
He really is. He's a guy who I knew absolutely nothing about before he got to the Jazz, other than, you know, what type of a player he was. But I didn't know what type of a guy he was at all. But he just said he wanted to go home and play with his two-year-old daughter because he had his daughter and wanted to play in the grass
outside.
And sleep outside. And I thought, like, oh, he's every person. Like,
yeah.
He's every person who's been working a long time and just wants to go home.
Yeah.
And that's charming. Again, he's easy to root for.
Yeah,
if you're a Jazz fan, you know, I don't know anything about him personally, but he's easy to root
for. It's weird that you say, like, we knew who he was, like, as a player. Did we?
Okay, the view of what people thought he was was not that accurate to what he's doing for the Jazz. What he's doing is what kind of the romantic side of what you hoped Jordan Clarkson would be, which is like, hey, he's a great scorer off the bench. But if you watched him his last year in L.A., which you have to understand was under the guise of Luke Walton, and I'm not sure we're getting accurate portrayals of what NBA players can actually do when Luke Walton's coaching them, as you've seen with Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball and Julius Randle and all these players. I mean, even De'Aaron Fox now with the Kings.
Marvin Bagley.
Like, all these guys who are probably better than Luke Walton's tutelage allows them to be. Jordan Clarkson may have been that, and then got traded to the weird team where he got 40 games with LeBron, went to the finals, they got swept, and then they were obscure because he went to the Lakers right after that.
Yeah.
So it didn't matter what Jordan Clarkson did, and now he's playing very meaningful minutes.
Well, and what's interesting is that if you go back and you look, especially over the last 3 years, including this season, his numbers are pretty much identical.
Yeah.
Like, right. He's not playing very many more minutes. He's not taking more shots. He's not. The efficiency is pretty much almost exactly the same. For some reason, it looks better now.
Yep.
And I still haven't quite put my finger on what it is that makes him look so good with the Jazz.
Okay, so here's a take I have.
Okay.
You're only as cerebral as the players around you.
Mm-hmm.
So when he was with a really young Lakers team,
right,
you couldn't kind of see the other nuances he had to his game beyond, oh, he's a sixth man who can score.
Right.
And then, of course, in Cleveland, it just didn't matter because they were a terrible team.
Yep.
And now you get to a team that has Donovan Mitchell and has Rudy Gobert or Mike Conley or Joe Ingles, who are all smart players. They all play the right way. And then, of course, are coached by Quinn Snyder, who makes you play the right way. And you can bring out some of those things that are not going to get highlighted on a team when it doesn't matter. On a team that's going to lose 60 games, it doesn't matter if you can make one extra pass twice a game. Because his assist numbers aren't huge, but he actually is a pretty good passer.
Yeah, I mean, and part of that is probably just like boiling it down, just being on a good team.
Right.
And being like a regular part of a good team. And so, yeah, his minutes, attempts, etc. might be the same. But like you said, it's meaningful now.
It's meaningful.
And so you can see it.
Also, he's probably playing better. I mean, smarter. He's trying to play better because the minutes matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're down 30 in Cleveland
no.
if you take bad shots. It matters if it's a four-point game against the Houston Rockets or the Denver Nuggets when he goes off for 24 in the fourth quarter. Those minutes all matter.
Yeah.
And good for him. He's been a fun player to watch, as has this Jazz team, I think, all season. It's got a group of players that are enjoyable to watch play basketball.
Yeah.
Which isn't always the case, whether you're a Jazz fan or any fan. There's players who are less fun to watch. Okay, that's a good wrap to the first half of the season. 36 wins for the Jazz. They're in great shape. Tomorrow we have the All-Star Saturday, three-point contest, dunk contest, skills challenge. The dunk contest is flawed. It's going to be cool that Aaron Gordon's there because I think he's had one of the best dunk contest performances we've ever seen. In fact, he probably had the best dunk contest losing performance we've ever seen.
Absolutely. I thought that he should have won that one.
Yep.
And I think it's such a tragedy that Zach LaVine is not going to be in this dunk contest.
Did you see the video that came out today?
I did
almost not. Almost a 360 from the free throw line. Like, he bricks it off the back of the rim, and everyone's like, why is he releasing that today when the dunk contest is tomorrow and
because
he's not taking part?
That's exactly why.
It's going to overshadow.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly why he's releasing it today. I think it's a travesty. If Aaron Gordon agrees to be in the dunk contest, the next day Zach LaVine should have agreed to be in the
Agreed.
Dunk contest.
I agree with that, especially because they're in Chicago. Like, you're
like, what else are we going to be excited about? Dwight Howard?
I don't get the Dwight thing, even though he actually had a good Dwight dunk contest performance when he won it,
sure,
when he did the Superman thing and he blew out the candle on the cupcake. That was cool, but that's Dwight 12 years ago, and that's not Dwight today, so that's a little weird. Pat Connaughton can really jump. He had like a 45-inch vertical at the Combine, one of the highest they've ever recorded.
He's just not a guy that I'm excited to watch against Aaron Gordon, though.
Agreed. So. I just don't know if there's much competition. Derek Jones from Miami actually might be the best dunker in the NBA.
Right.
He had that alley-oop against, I want to say it was the Raptors 2 years ago, where it looks like, I mean, he catches it from the rafters. It might be my favorite dunk in NBA history. He may need to dunk on people, though. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if he's that exciting as a creative dunker.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess something to be excited about
but
tomorrow.
He did beat Donovan Mitchell and Rajon Tucker in the high school dunk contest. Derek Jones Jr.
Oh,
did.
Yeah.
He was in that same AAU dunk contest and beat those two guys, which, remember when Rajon Tucker signed with the Jazz,
mm-hmm,
they were talking about that relationship.
Yeah.
So Derek Jones was the guy who won it. So maybe there actually is a little bit of magic coming up there.
Maybe that's why Rajon Tucker is in Chicago. P.S., by the way, he's here.
Oh, is he here?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm supporting his guys. I know Donovan and Royce are here. Obviously, Donovan's here. I think Royce O'Neal's here also. Okay. Three-point shooting contest. They've added two new zones, which are like 6 feet behind the three-point line. That would have been awesome if Damian Lillard was actually shooting in it, because he's the one guy who I believe can consistently hit those shots.
Right.
I mean, there's good shooters in the league, but it would have been cool to see if Dame could have kept his recent hot streak alive to hit those.
It's also just, I mean, in general, very disappointing and sad that we're not going to see Damian Lillard. I mean, first of all, he won't be in that. But
right.
Also, just not in the All-Star game, because he has been playing
so well.
Out of his gourd.
Yeah, the best he's ever played.
Yeah, the best that many people
the best
have
that
ever played.
Yeah, maybe anyone's ever played, in all honesty, this stretch he's had.
And for him to not be able to, for anyone that doesn't know, he strained his groin, and so he won't be in the All-Star game, and it's just disappointing when really good players who are on a really good tear like that aren't, I mean, the honor is still there. He is an All-Star, but he won't be able to, like, show off.
And would have been a very easy dark horse for MVP.
Yeah.
you know, he easily could have kept that streak going, put up 40.
He often is.
Yeah, right. So let's, that's too bad. But he's still going to be rapping at halftime or tomorrow. I think he's going to be rapping still.
Yeah.
So we'll get to see him at least come and perform. And then the skills challenge. I actually kind of like the skills challenge. It's goofy, but it's kind of a fun thing to watch.
It's weird. It's a nice light way to start the Saturday night stuff.
Yeah.
It gives people who aren't really around or not interested in anything other than the dunk contest.
Right.
Maybe like they turn on the TV and they see that and they get a little bit more interested. I think it's a good way to start it off.
Yeah, Jason Tatum won it last year. I think
he's
defending this year. Spencer Dinwiddie. I wrote about it at KSLSports.com. If you want to see all the rosters for the entire competition, you want to find out who's competing, where you can watch it, you can find all of that at KSLSports.com. Sunday is the big game. What do you expect from Donovan Mitchell? What do you expect from Rudy Gobert?
I mean, the All-Star game is almost never about defense until, like, the last 2 minutes.
Sure.
With the new format of the All-Star game, I guess people are hoping that that's going to make things a little lean a little bit more towards maybe playing some defense for Rudy's purpose.
Yeah.
I hope he just is, like, blocking the heck out of things. I hope that he just pulls out a few really big defensive moves.
Agreed.
Not only would it be very on-brand for him, but also for him being like two-time DPOY, it would be really nice for him in his All-Star debut to be like, hey guys, remember me?
Right, right. And he's probably going to get, what, 10 minutes?
Maybe.
Minutes, you know what I mean? Maybe he gets 12, but hopefully he can get a couple highlights. He should get a few dunks. Donovan Mitchell could certainly take a bigger stage. He'll take some threes, and he'll have a couple of highlight dunks, so you'll get to see him. You mentioned the new format for the All-Star game, so here's what it's going to look like. After every quarter, through the first three quarters, they're going to reset the score to 0-0. So you're competing to win each individual quarter, and then the team that wins that, $100,000 gets donated to their local Chicago charity.
Mm-hmm.
And then, going into the fourth quarter, they actually go back and tally up all of those scores, and then add 24 points to honor Kobe Bryant's number. And
add 24 points to the highest score.
To the highest score.
Yes.
And that becomes the
target score.
The target score, the final target score, and whoever gets their first win. So the idea is, if it's 100 to 95, the number gets set to 124. And then the teams who's at 95 actually says, you know what, I know where I need to get to. And those teams really crank up. Assuming they play defense. If they don't play defense,
it's going to be over in 2 minutes.
We might have a 4-minute fourth quarter because it's going to be untimed.
24 points.
Yeah, you might need to do 81 points.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I thought maybe that's a more appropriate
number. That actually
number.
Might be better.
Yeah, so that's going to be quick.
The fourth quarter, I'm worried. Like, I understand the honor for Kobe and adding 24, and it's a very clever way to honor him.
It is.
I don't think that that's going to be good for the All-Star game, though, just in terms of they have to play defense to elongate it for more than, like, 3 minutes.
Right. So we'll see how it works. I won't be surprised if they don't stick with it beyond this year. And, you know, with the 24-point thing, allows you to do it 1 year, honor Kobe, and move on from it.
Right.
I've been a little surprised at how non-Kobe-oriented the All-Star weekend is, but there's so much going on.
So far, I mean, I think that things really ramp up tomorrow.
Sure.
And once you, once, like, the Hall of Fame announcements and stuff, like, once those things start coming out, and I know there's, like, an NBA Legends thing happening tonight.
Right.
And so it's slowly going to move more into that. And then, of course, the All-Star game, it's going to be, like, a huge tribute
huge thing,
to him.
Yeah.
So.
And the Hall of Fame tonight is going to be maybe the best class in NBA history. Because they're going to announce that in the next, what, two hours,
hour?
I think?
Yeah.
It's going to be Kobe. It's going to be Kevin Garnett.
Tim Duncan.
It's going to be Tim Duncan.
It's
like,
crazy.
Those three are top 20 players of all time, I think. Duncan and Kobe are top 10 players of all time. Like, to get all of those guys in one class is pretty remarkable. So that should be very cool. And it's going to be emotional with Kobe being honored and just not being able to be there. Let's set the scene, though, for what we've been. It's, again, the city is not overwhelmed with All-Star stuff, but there was a lot of media walking around. There's players walking around. We actually had a funny thing last night. We went to a restaurant to get food, and we walked in, and Daryl from the office, Craig Robinson, was, like, the first guy right as we walked
in. Yeah, he's just sitting there.
Yeah.
And, like, looking on his phone.
Yeah. So, like, there are people around. Like, it is certainly an event, and there are stars, and there are kind of legends sitting downstairs in the lobby. It's cool. It really is a cool event. It reminds me a little bit of the Summer League in Las Vegas. If you walk through the hotel, there's just players everywhere.
Yeah, and the thing I like about things like that, like Summer League, All-Star Weekend, is that when you get all of these guys in one place and you have so many celebrities and so many athletes, then it kind of loses its, like, starstruck luster.
Absolutely.
You know? And so then it puts everybody sort of more on a level playing field, and it feels like, oh, they're just, everyone's here, everyone's normal.
And I think even for the players, not just that, okay, they're everywhere, so it's not like when you see one random NBA player, it feels unique. for the players themselves, they're around so many people that they're like, well, I'm not a celebrity anymore. I'm not unique here. Like, because Craig Robinson is here or because Steven Jackson's in the airport, or just there are players everywhere or celebrities everywhere. So, yeah, you're right. They fall back a little bit closer to the everyday person who's just walking around the hotel. And it is kind of funny to see them interact as human beings. And everyone, and plus, the guys that are here are happy to be here.
I watched an unnamed Bucks player.
Chris Middleton.
No, that is not on the All-Star team. I watched him, like, argue with an Uber driver earlier today. And he was like, you're not on the street because I'm on this street. And he's like, okay, what kind of car is it? And he's, like, looking at his phone. He's like, nope, you are not here. And it's like, I've done that.
Yeah, I've done that. He's just like me.
Yeah, they're just like us.
Otherwise, it's legitimately cold outside. Yeah, that's kind of the other story. It's legitimately cold outside.
It's frozen here. Yeah. It was 1 degree today.
Yeah.
Uno.
Yeah.
And
it feels like it.
It felt like it.
Yeah.
It's so cold when you're breathing, like, you can't breathe out of your nose because, like, the moisture will just freeze.
Yeah.
I hate it.
And don't take your hands out to use your phone.
No.
You take your hands out and your thumb stops moving.
It freezes.
It gets so stiff so fast.
It's immediate frostbite.
You can't use it anymore.
Yeah.
I think that's it for NBA Friday. There'll be the Rising Stars Challenge and the Celebrity Game tonight. Tomorrow, as I mentioned, dunk contest, three-point shooting contest, skills challenge. And then actually in the morning, there is the practice sessions with the two NBA teams. So we'll get to talk to those guys, and then we'll have another Jazz Notes podcast after that. We'll also jump on with Facebook Live. We appreciate everybody who listened. Again, you can rate us in iTunes. We appreciate that. Helps us get a bigger reach to our jazz community. Read Sarah online at Deseret News. You can find her on Twitter at NBA Sarah. You can find me at Ben's Hoops and read me at KSLSports.com. That's it for your Jazz Notes podcast.